dismantling institutional lies themselves. In May of 89, Dr. Pyron was director of such a facility, and he was visited in his office by one such troubled individual. There was hopelessness in the man's eyes as he described the path that had led him to this place. For years, he had been plagued by invisible phantoms, sounds that seemed very real, but coming from nowhere. Furthermore, real sounds from real sources seemed alternately intolerably loud and utterly imperceptible. And then there was the awful dizziness, often accompanied by nausea, even vomiting, a condition so severe that the slightest motion might set it off. But the man seemed well enough at the moment, Dr. Pyron observed. Indeed, was the answer, the dreadful symptoms would disappear for months at a time, only to recur worse than before. Dr. Pyron asked if the man had sought treatment for the malady. Oh, yes, he had gone to a regular hospital, but the doctors there were unable to help him. All he could think to do now, possessing neither the strength nor the courage to live independently, was to commit himself to the mental health facility and hope for a cure. From what Dr. Pyron had heard, there was no doubt in his mind the man was epileptic. The symptoms he had enumerated seemed obviously indicative. The doctor concurred that prolonged observation was advisable, so the patient was promptly admitted to this mental health facility. But, well, this is the rest of the story. 8 years previous to what you've just heard, one of our nation's leading neurologists, Dr. Charles Charcot, published a series of papers on diseases of the nervous system. And in two of those theses, Charcot described something called Meniere's vertigo. The disorder was not then widely known. And yet, had Dr. Pyron read those articles, he would surely have recognized the symptoms expressed by his patient, that they were not symptoms of epilepsy at all. Meniere's disease is characterized by painful ringing or buzzing in the ear, alternating hearing loss and intolerance to noise, attacks of disabling dizziness called vertigo. The auditory hallucinations are sometimes so terrible that the sufferer may mutilate his own ears. I said the sufferer may mutilate his own ears in a desperate effort to silence the awful din. Surgery, even changes in diet, can cure Meniere's disease. And yet, while specialists are now certain that Dr. Pyron's patient was suffering from Meniere's, was neither epileptic nor insane. And while French doctors a century ago could have determined the same, medical news traveled very slowly in 1889, and the 36-year-old patient remained at the asylum until the attacks became unbearable, and a year later, the man took his own life. Letters in his own handwriting would appear to remove all doubt that what he had was curable, and had he been cured, the whole world would have been more beautiful. Perhaps you thought you knew why the great artist Vincent van Gogh cut off his ear and died so young. Well, now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
All right, we're back. Give us a call on, line's already flashing, 238-5775. 238-5775. Go ahead, caller, you kick it off.
So you say we should be represented. Anyway, I hate to put you on the hot seat or cause division or not be objective, but can you, either of you, tell me if there's an Easter egg to find out there on the internet? Have we got a candidate for school board, a non-incumbent in the upcoming election?
Well, first of all, I might add that for the school board election, you have to declare your candidacy by, I think, August, and
no,
that
no, 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 no.
is
it's
not...
It's June.
Okay. The upcoming election is June 2nd. And June 2nd, there are not any school board candidates on that ballot. That is the primary ballot. They are on the November ballot. So thank you for bringing that up. And
November, though, time's moving fast for me, and November's coming
absolutely.
Fast.
Absolutely.
So the question is, do we have candidates?
Are there more than one on the three seats open?
Well, there. I know for one area, there are right now two good candidates. And I'm not going to name them because if the enemy's listening, I don't want them to know what what I know.
Yeah, I was afraid to put you on the hot seat. I should just do my research. And
well, I'll tell you, for one of the... For one of the areas we have, there are two good candidates, either one of which I would be happy with, and probably there'll have to be a powwow, and one of them will likely drop out.
And this
now
is a
for
really
the other
key
two,
position.
The other two districts, mm-hmm. I think two of the three candidates or two of the three incumbents are not going to run. That's my expectation.
What?
And then I think
the Angels just came down through the clouds here. Hold on a second. really?
But the one that you're most concerned about, he's an ambitious politician. He's going to run.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So,
and it's going to take a while for people to understand the truth about who is who.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a political animal. He'll run. And I don't know anybody in that area. So,
okay.
And Kenny, while we're talking about it, could we identify which district and approximately where those districts are so that if people are listening and they're very active, you know, want to get involved and want to actually run for an office in the school board, this is
can be forced.
persuaded,
drawn in.
Influenced, persuaded.
Do me a favor.
We try not to use manipulate and force.
So
that's what it takes.
Yeah, there's three of the four trustees are up for re-election. And again,
one, two, and four.
Yeah, and I suspect two of them are not going to run again. But that's my suspicion. There's nothing concrete. But, you know, if I were them, you know, if I were one of the progressives, I would not say anything one way or the other until the last minute, and I would keep that, you know, between me and the county Democrat Party.
So District 1 is approximately what
area? The lake down behind Walmart.
Yeah.
From the lake down behind Walmart, all the way down there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then Area 2 goes from basically 24th Street north on the east side of the 101 and the river.
North
on the west side. What did I say? East?
Mm-hmm.
North on the west side of the 101 all the way up to San Miguel, and then it takes in the city proper, the west side of the river in San Miguel. And then Area 4 is Sona Road out by the airport going north across the 46 to Union Road.
We need some good people in those neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And so elementary schools and junior high or middle schools in that area. So district
four is Kermit.
We don't
have middle schools anymore.
Kermit
Come on,
King.
Get with
that's
the program,
why I
Darsha.
Said, that's
junior
why I
high.
Changed it.
They are junior high. None of these little middle schoolers. But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic that the tide is turning.
Oh, this is good.
The simple fact that, as I mentioned last week, we were real close to having a balanced budget for the first time since Dr. McNamara back in the, you know, 20 freaking years ago or whenever that was. But we're really close to having a balanced budget. I suspect this year we were at $2.5 million shortfall. If we reach a settlement with or negotiated settlement or whatever the agreement with the labor unions, we're probably going to have about a $300,000 to $600,000 shortfall. But I think that can be mitigated by cutting in other areas. And so when the If they're listening, they'll find out what I'm going to tell them. But, you know, staff proposed all this stuff, and they have, you know, the Me Too pay raises for everybody. So their estimates are based off of, you know, CSEA is going to get the same thing as PRPE, and management's going to get the same thing. Well, management, sorry, you're not going to get the same thing. So that I'm not going to support that at all. Again, my heart goes out to the custodians and the secretaries and the teachers. I don't know how they can. I drove by the gas station the other day, and diesel's $8.30 a gallon. So I don't know how these people can survive right now. But it's not the district's fault. Stop voting and putting idiots in Sacramento that are causing these problems for you. You know, get out of your Democrat-controlled
teachers union
mm-hmm. and, you know, just divest yourself of that group and have a small local union. I would even support, honestly, if you had an independent union, I would support doing what Clovis does, which is giving them a seat on the board in the discussions as an advisor. But
Not like they don't effectively hear anyway.
Well, you know, I'm so done with the freaking when the teachers' union reps show up and they're like, the kids are so happy, and you know we got to stop gun violence and save the puppies and the baby seals, and I'm like, just tell me why we're not doing well in math. That's all I want to hear.
Right.
You know, leave the rest of the stuff at the door. Just, you know, what are you going to do to fix reading, writing, and arithmetic and citizenship? But we never get there. So, but I'm cautiously optimistic.
Thank you for letting me steal your show. And he's risen.
Anytime. Have a great Easter.
Thank you. Bye.
And we have mentioned that for the teachers that, I mean, there are some amazing teachers, and you've kind of borne the brunt of a lot of the, I call it infiltration, but where the ideology has become more important than the actual subject matter, and the curriculum is being changed, and history is being changed, and the language is being changed, and all of these things that you're supposed to comply with in order to be able to continue your profession. And for all of those teachers that I would love to see where we have kind of a rededication to teachers that maybe took early retirement, that really want to and are really amazing teachers and really care about the students, care about the children in their classroom, and know what it means in order to actually really be an effective teacher. And if you're out there, and please consider getting back into the profession when you have a school board that can support you and can have it be about education, not about ideology.
Yeah, I had breakfast with a couple of those potential candidates this morning, and we talked about the flight of teachers, and I still. When I look nationwide, I still put a lot of the blame on the poor state of public education. I put a lot of that blame on the teachers' unions. The individual teachers are not the problem. It's the collectivist mindset of that teachers' union, and the fact that they're taking their money, they're being the teachers, the individual teachers. When you look at California Teachers Association, I read a stat, not over 90% of the money that they donate go to Democrat candidates. And then they go out and they tell their local chapters, you know, the Paso Robles Public Educators and the Atascadero Public Educators, et cetera, if they don't give you a pay raise, then strike. Well, you're putting your candidates into office. They're the ones that are driving up the cost of living to the point where you can't survive. And then you're leaning on the locals who may have a different ideological mindset, and you're leaning on them and threatening them, we're going to strike unless you give us more money. And you know, you can't get blood from a stone. I think when you look around this state in particular, I have a lot of concerns when we look at the amount of fraud that has been uncovered to date. I think it's officially only at about $180
billion. Oh, please.
It's officially what we're at. I've heard it's up to, you know, it's potentially up to $750 billion. You say it's over a trillion.
I have heard that is between $2 and $3 trillion. That's how bad it.
But even if it's $750 billion,
okay, we'll
you're looking at per household, that's about $25,000 of lost wealth, essentially, from each household. And imagine what that would do to a starving, you know, 20-something-year-old teacher. I mean, that would make or break them, frankly. Mm-hmm. But the teachers' unions keep...
Perpetuating
the problem by giving all their money to the problem. And that's what frustrates me. You know, here locally... we're going to have that bond measure. They're going to ask the school district's going to ask, you know, hat in hand for, you know, I don't know, $170 to $220 million. And yeah, that's just another rock in our pack. You know, gas prices are going up. When you look at the amount of fraud and the probable loss of federal revenue because of that fraud, because the feds aren't doing an investigation just to, you know, find somebody to punish. They're figuring out where all that waste was because they're going to cut back. They're going to say, oh, we gave you all that money and you didn't really need it. Well, guess what? You're not getting it anymore.
Yeah, there are the clawback provisions and they can reduce. I call it RSD. They can reduce, suspend, or terminate that funding.
Yeah. So for a district, you know, for a district like Paso Robles, we'll say Shandon or San Miguel that rely heavily on the... you know, the lower income migrant populations to secure.
I think the official term is disadvantaged communities.
Yeah. When you look at those districts that have basically they're banking on getting extra funds to support those disadvantaged communities, that money's going to dry up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, you're at a point where, okay, what do you want to cut? Our lunch program at Paso is all federal funding.
I just know that whenever you have a government agency and maybe well-meaning, but a government agency doing anything, there's always layer upon layer upon layer where it's not efficient, it's not effective, and it's not cost-effective. So,
well, a lot of this, I agree with that. But again, this is a failure. It's a collective failure on the part of the people of California. How do we get here? We got here because, you know, Californians are apathetic.
And, well, let's go
and
back
you look
to
at school boards.
Federalizing
school boards,
education, that happened.
Well, I don't think that... I'm not as concerned about the federalization of education as I am about the state control, particularly in California.
But what happened with that?
Well,
because you no longer had like shop classes, the manual arts.
No.
You no
I don't
longer
agree
had
with that.
The language. You no
I,
longer
no.
had
the
civics.
Federal government does not dictate curriculum. Sacramento dictates curriculum. I'll tell you that. When you look, you could have the same textbook, and you'll have an edition for California and an edition for Texas, and the version of history will be different because
imagine
they because they wrote. They wrote the textbook to appeal to the State Board of Education. And so, you know, in California, you're going to have a history book that talks all about Harvey Milk and everything else. You know, in Texas, you're going to have one that talks about Davy Crockett. the federal government is not the problem in education. It's certainly not the solution. It's a waste of money, and I'm all for doing away with the Federal Department of Education.
I think
don't think it's going to fix that problem. The problem is still the state of California. We cannot sit and blame Washington, D.C. or anybody else for our problems. We have caused our problems, and we can fix our problems. And that has to be done through local elections. You look at the Paso Robles School Board. I would guarantee, I would bet a fancy steak dinner that I am the only one that goes through and looks at those accounts payable or the purchase orders.
I look at them from time to time.
but that's, I mean, that's not your job.
Exactly.
The board members are, they're supposed to be providing, it's oversight. You know, when I get to the point where I can look, even though they've taken the names off of the credit card list, I can look and see what restaurant. I'm like, oh yeah, I know who that is, because he likes that kind of food. That's abuse. And these are people that they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. They're going to ask for more money, but they're going to go out and they're so arrogant that, you know, they're going to use a government credit card to buy a cup of coffee.
Well, and you know how I feel
Japanese
about the,
food.
You know how I feel about the school bond measure that is they're floating. So the numbers that I came up with, just using the active registered voters in the Paso Robles school district, the Joint Unified School District, is about 30,700. So if you take that into the 220 million, which is what was at least being discussed, that was approximately $7,500 per registered voter. And that, when you say it's a $220 million bond, that's just on the face of it. It
that doesn't include
much,
the interest.
Much more.
And the interest, you know, for Measure M from 2016, that's going to be, we're going to be paying that until 2046.
It's 2.5 times, whatever it is.
You know, the bottom,
2.5 times.
The bottom line concern I have with all of this is when we, you know, going back to the federal funding, if the feds start saying, you know, California, we gave and we, you know, we do and we do and we do for you kids, and this is the thanks we get, the other 49 states are going to say, you know what, we don't want to give you any more money. And then California's got to figure out, we Californians are going to be stuck with a big,
well,
you know,
I have,
what sandwich to clean up.
I have possibly hope for that. And as we go into the break, Kenny and I will do a little bit of discussion about that. But please let us know what you think can be done here. And it's the school board, the city council, all forms of government. Back after the break.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Markets were closed in observance of Good Friday, but the Labor Department released the all-important jobs report for March, with U.S. employers adding a surprisingly strong 178,000 new jobs during the month and rebounding from a dismal February. The job gains for March were about 3 times what economists were predicting. Jobs were added in healthcare, construction, transportation, and warehousing, while the federal government continued to shed jobs. And the unemployment rate ticking lower to 4.3% from 4.4% in February. And Starbucks will be joining forces with Boyu Capital and handing off a large part of its coffee shop business in China to the investment firm, which is expected to allow Starbucks to focus on reviving its U.S. business. Boyu will hold 60% of Starbucks China operations, while Starbucks will keep a 40% stake. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Need life insurance but have diabetes, high blood pressure, or on anxiety meds? If you're a 50-year-old male, even Porky, or with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of life insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. For affordable term life insurance, call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-444-2013, 800-444-2013, or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. 800-444-2013.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When friends and family come to visit this spring, you want them close, but maybe not that close. Give your guests a stay that they'll love at Allegretto Vineyard Resort. Spring is one of the most beautiful times here. lush vineyards, milder weather, and fewer crowds before the summer heat. Your guests can relax in elegant rooms, enjoy vineyard views, and experience award-winning food and wine. It's the perfect balance of hosting and having your space. Book their spring stay at AllegrettoVineyardResort.com.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs, just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at WeHelpYouLegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
All right, we're back. Darsha has all the answers.
I can't say that I have all the answers, but I think we, most of us, can agree that we have some problems here. We have some huge problems, and a lot of it has to do with how we're being taxed and taxed and taxed, and what can actually happen to solve the problem. Because where we are now is there's no money in solving the problem. You work yourself out of being able to have an income. And so you have how much we were listening this morning, Kevin was talking about how the state, the number of state employees has increased.
Oh, right.
So,
but the population's only increased like a 1 percentage point, and the state's increased its number of employees by 25% or something like that.
So all
same with the school district.
All through the layers of any kind of governmental agency or even the non-governmental organizations. Think of how the proliferation of non-governmental organizations. So I was proposing that we know where we are right now. We know that the money is drying up in all areas, even our own pocketbook. And that if we can, as communities, bring it local, and if there's some project that needs to be done at the city, there's some project that can be done at the parks, if there's some project that can be done at the schools, where it's a community effort, and it can have, you know, it can have some regulations, it can have the safety, it can have some of those protocols.
There are a lot,
but there's a lot of people that are willing to donate their time, money, and effort to be able to accomplish something that really is an amazing thing, rather than forcing people to have a school bond and forcing them to comply.
Well, there are lots of examples here in Paso of what you're talking about. You know, the one that immediately comes to mind for me was the beach volleyball courts that were installed right next to the district office. That was all done with private money and private time. And it was just a couple of families that got together and pushed the issue. And all they had to get from the board was permission to do it. They funded everything else. They went in with their own crews and their own equipment, and they knocked that thing out and, you know, less than a month.
Amazing.
For a fraction, you know, even if you calculated it at market value, it still would have been a fraction of what it would have cost the taxpayers, because the taxpayers have to pay prevailing wages when they contract out, which makes everything, I don't know, somebody could call in and correct me, but I think it's probably, I would say it's probably a 20 to 25% markup at least. When you have to hire prevailing wages for some of these government jobs.
And I was involved where we wanted to have an artificial turf field at a high school in Santa Barbara, and the community was who came forward, and we raised almost $750,000, and you had a beautiful turf field that had, you know.
There are lots of examples of this, of that going on with the PTOs, the PTAs, you know, the FFA dinner, fundraising dinner a couple of weeks ago. Those are all examples where the community gets involved. And most of them, they don't do building projects or things like that. It's to fund trips or, you know, the band or whatever. But I think the biggest problem I have right now with the concept of a bond, well, I got a bunch. I'm honest. I got a lot of problems with the bond measure. But, you know, one, we still have money left over from the previous one. I'm still a little bitter over the way Measure M was handled. I think the money was mismanaged and the priorities were mismanaged.
Well, there was a grand jury report. You know, when you have a grand jury report, a cautionary tale.
But, you know, again, as I said last week, I am used to a professional organization saying, here's my plan, and this is how much money I need to execute my plan. Not, give me some money, and I'll let you know how I'm going to spend it, which is the way it's coming across to me, and I'm on the board of trustees. I'm not even sure what they want.
And it's not even give me some money. It is, we're going to take this money because we think that this is a better use of your money than...
No, it's still in the, you know, give me some money because we have to vote on it. But it's just the state of California is going to wind up doing this more and more. And it's because, you know, as the saying goes, you know, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create soft men. Soft men create hard times. We're at the bottom of that now, the hard times. And the state is, you know, it's out of moolah. And, you know, those of us that... you know, decide we're going to stay and fight. You know, my concern is they're going to start, you know, asking for more and more and more. Conversation I had with these gentlemen this morning, you know, one of them's involved with that. Actually, both of them are involved in the agriculture. I'll tell you what's going to break me is if they do away with the Williamson Act or if Prop 13 goes away, I'm done. There's no way I can generate enough income off my property to just meet the government's demands. So at that point, you know, it's either, you know, pick up your pitchfork and torch and fight back or pack up the Wagoneer and head east.
And when I was saying that there's no money in solving the problem, the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority is exactly the same thing. They're talking about $1.1 million just to manage the basin, which is not stormwater capture, which is not creating projects. It's not any of those things. And it's $1.1 million that they're going to be assessing on farmers. And you and I both come a similar direction into the radio station. And how many piles of grapevines do you see? I mean,
it's a growing number.
When farmers are having to fallow their land, that is not a good sign, even if it's wine grapes. Welcome to Open Mic Friday. You are on the air.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm sorry to change the subject because what you guys are talking about is really interesting.
Thank you.
I'm calling because a while ago, your station and a number of others around here were running ads from something called cleanwater.com or something like that. Cleanslowwater.com. And it exhorted you to call them up and make an appointment to have them come out and test your well water. And I guess run it to a lab and do that all for free. Anybody have any idea who paid for that and what the upshots of all that were and what they're getting out of it and so on?
Actually, I'm not. I thought when you first mentioned it, I thought I knew exactly who that organization was, but I'm not actually sure, and it could be that there's an agency that is concerned about having the wells that are running dry or have one run dry, and they're wanting to assist with bringing water out to your location if your water is not considered healthy or, you know, where it's drinkable water. It's also possible that it's through the county, but my understanding is that agency, that if you want to have your water tested, you can have your water tested. Kenny's looking at one of them right now.
Yeah,
it's probably on the up and up, and I ought to take advantage of it. But I just wonder if they discover your well is polluted or has coliform or something, whether they'll blacklist you or do something which you might not want.
Well, especially in the area of whether or not you're an agricultural If you have irrigated agriculture, the well testing, they have to monitor certain wells as to the level of the water. But then in the Atascadero Basin, they've had some issues with PFAS. With San Miguel, there's some issues. And so individual wells, I think they're not as concerned about as, and unless the well is actually going dry. But we have a caller calling in, and that's exactly what this forum is about, is that hopefully there'll be someone with a little bit more information about that.
All I can find online is it looks like it has to do with oil and fracking. And if you go to slowcleanwateraction.wordpress.com, it's got more information, but it looks like it has to do with oil and fracking.
And that may be why I wasn't familiar with it as far as the surface
water in the ground. There's a petition for chefs against fracking on there. So.
Okay. Oh, all right. But
I think that's probably not it. I think it's more up and up than that.
Okay. I'm embarrassed to say I haven't heard the commercial.
Okay.
So don't tell Kevin.
I haven't heard it in a while. It was 2 weeks ago or so.
Don't tell Kevin I'm not listening to the commercials.
Oh. All right. Well, anyway.
Thank you for bringing that up. And, of course, drinking water. And so do you have a well?
Yeah, I have a normal kind of householder well. And
domestic.
There's no ag or domestic well. And I water my cows and horses with it.
And do your cows and horses take water off of the property?
No, only if you lead them around and they, you know.
My point is that the water that is brought up through electricity, through your pump, that the horses, the cattle are drinking that water, and it goes right back into your system and is as I've said, we have a closed loop system at our household. We have a septic system, and you take a shower, you flush the toilet, and okay, so maybe I don't know how many years later you're drinking the same water, but we'll deal with that.
Yes. Well, we got plenty this year, thank God, and I'm really glad for it.
Well,
what a beautiful spring.
I'm ready for that $1.1 million budget that the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority has. I'm ready for if the average rainfall is, let's say, 12 inches of rain. It's really, I think, closer to 14 in most of the areas around here and more on the west side. But if it's average of 12, that's an acre foot. So if you have a property of, let's say it's a 40-acre parcel, you're actually contributing to the watershed and contributing to the basin, not using the basin.
That's
so
a good point.
I want to produce my own invoice where I'm billing the Praga Group for the water that we're contributing to the basin. How's that?
I wish you luck. Let me know if that's a profit center.
She'll take us all out to dinner when she gets the check.
Well, I did say that every time I flush the toilet, I think of Bruce Gibson because of all of this.
All right. Well, that's a good one. All right, you all. Thank you, and hang
thank
in there.
You.
I very much appreciate what this station does.
All
thank
right.
you. Happy
you
Easter.
Thanks for calling in.
Likewise. Bye.
And that might have been considered a cutoff.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, the budget, I have to just say this, because this is something that just, it's typical of a governmental agency that they've self-created and charging $1.1 million to, quote, keep the lights on. You're paying for attorneys, consultants, and, you know, you produce, what is your only product? A report.
Well, let's take that back to what Kevin was talking about this morning, where you had if you factored in, I think it was the illegal aliens, we'll just say the population of the state went up like 0.25% or something, and then the number of employees went up 25%. Well, look at that, or look at the Paso Robles School District since 2020, when you've lost 600 students, but you've increased the number of employees by 160. Again, it gets back to what I've started coining the trust fund baby mentality of the bureaucrats of the state. They just think they think they're entitled. That Praga is nothing more than a jobs program. Go ahead, caller, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, lady and gentlemen.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. You just got me off my chair when you brought up, Darsha just said, self-appointed authority. Because that's exactly what they are. There has been no nexus of anybody granting authority to the Paso Robles water outfit for anything. Not, and especially not to raise bonds and taxes. And none of that has a nexus.
And I don't know if you can hear the music, but we have the music. Do you want to hold on or do you want to call back? Because I think you have an excellent topic that we would like to discuss further.
One minute break.
I'll hold on if you want to hold me on.
We'll try.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
We're here to help. At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Turning 65 soon? Getting mail or calls about Medicare from people you've never even heard of? Yeah, that's normal, but figuring it all out, that's the tricky part. Good news, you don't have to do it alone. Hedges Insurance is a local independent agency, and we've been helping North County residents make sense of Medicare for over 35 years. We'll walk you through your options in plain English. No jargon, no pressure, no salesy nonsense. And here's something most people don't realize. Our help is completely free. So before you try to decode Medicare at your kitchen table with a stack of confusing letters, come see us instead. Join our free, no-pressure Medicare information meeting on April 14th at 11 a.m. at the Story Labs meeting space, 8965 El Camino Real in Atascadero. You might even leave feeling like you actually understand Medicare. Or if you'd rather chat one-on-one, just give us a call at 805-466-9048. That's 805-466-9048 to get the hedge of protection. Because Medicare is complicated, but getting help shouldn't be.
And we're back with Open Mic Friday, and we had a caller just before the break that was got up out of his seat to be able to talk about the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority that I agree has been self-appointed. On the line, so this budget of $1.1 million, what exactly do you think that that covers, and how is that possible that people will be charged based on a rate study? How is it possible that people would actually be charged for paying for what they're doing there?
Well, to begin with, I go to a lot of water meetings. And I've been to almost every water meeting. I just missed one of my first misses just this last couple of days or last week. The bottom line is that they are self-appointed. They all got together and decided that they would become the Paso Robles Groundwater Authority. There is no nexus. No governmental agency appointed them. No one set up any vote for the public to appoint them.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. And here we have an authority who now is telling us that we need to come up with $1.5 million, basically, to just run the agency. Let me tell you another example of a very similar circumstance that exists today in this county, and it's called SLOCOG. Does anybody remember what SLOCOG was appointed for?
Yeah, that at one point they were there to be able to administer and distribute the funding.
But correct. The state was providing community redevelopment funding. In fact, it provided a salary for our late mayor, Steve Martin. He worked for the city of Atascadero in community, or at, down at the city of Atascadero, working for the redistribution in a fair manner of the money that was coming back to each of the individual cities inside the county and the county itself. So, in other words, that's why there's a representative from every city on SLOCOG. SLOCOG has become an agency and requires a budget, multi-million-dollar budget, lots of employees and all the employee benefits that go along with them. That's what SLOCOG is. And so 10 or 15 or 20 years from now, I guess we're just going to be in acceptance of the Paso Robles Groundwater Authority.
I do not consent.
Yeah, well, I didn't expect that you would.
Where are the no change protesters?
You share my reticence for more taxation and especially any more bonds. People who vote don't understand what bonds are. Do you know what a bond is? Of course you do. Because we pay attention. A bond is borrowing money. The government borrowing money from the taxpayers. That's who's making the payments on the bond, including the interest on the bond. That's what the taxpayers get to do. So you have that circumstance. They're floating $1.1 million or $1.2 million for the budget because they need to find that money from somewhere because they don't want to charge their members the amount of money it would take annually to come up with the budget for the water authority.
Well, and I think you're familiar with my proposal. If the only reason that they have this budget is to essentially run monthly meetings, let's just say it's $1.2 million, that's $100,000 per month to run a public meeting, and they're not solving any problems or addressing, you know, the actual issues in the groundwater basin. So, hey, why don't we just have an annual meeting to do nothing instead of having monthly meetings to do nothing? And it would only cost $100,000. That's my proposal.
Well, there you go. And it's as simple as that, by the way, because the basin will take care of itself if you do a couple of things. I grew up around here. We've always had water here, lots of it. Why do you think they grow so many grapes here, irrigated grapes? Because there's water here. And if you run out of water, your well is 200 feet or thereabouts, 250 feet. If you're at 300 or 400 feet, you have water. There's no question about that. We are having to drill deeper. I had to. No question. My well was so old it had a steel casing and it went around a corner, so I had to put a new one in so I could read the amount of water that was in the well.
Mm-hmm.
So I drilled a well at 400 feet and now I have a lot of water forevermore.
Mm-hmm. But
everybody can afford to do that. I just happen to have a sinking fund I keep for my property. So I had the money available to sink a new well. But the bottom line here is we're talking about a bond issue, in essence, or some method similar to that to start this agency, hire people, and do all the stuff you usually do to create a bureaucracy.
Yes.
And we have enough bureaucracies in California. What? No question about that one.
Well, I appreciate your perspective, and please, you know, I know how involved you are, and thank you for your service.
Yeah, it's selfish service.
Well,
because I stay involved because I don't want to be in a part of what they're trying to do. And the only way you can pitch your complaint, so to speak, is if you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And I see you there frequently, so I know you're of the same mindset. And people, certain people are going to be involved in this kind of stuff, especially somebody like me who wants to avoid the additional expense of living on a water well because somebody thinks they need to check how much water I'm using for a domestic household. I don't irrigate anything here except landscape.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for doing that. We do have another call that I think we can get in before the end of the show. So
right.
Thank you so much.
Happy Easter. Go ahead,
Colin.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Doing great, thank you. From another person that attends board meetings that most people think, how can they possibly continue to go to these board meetings? But what do you learn, and why do you continue to go to board meetings?
Well, I want to back up on what Kenny said about the problem with the education. It isn't just the state control. You also have the courts backing up saying you got to have porn in the libraries for the kids.
Yeah, there have been some rulings. I think the pendulum is swinging back the other way. I say toward sanity. I say toward parental rights, toward people being able to understand that it really is about educating our children, that our children are amazing, and that we have really done them a disservice. What happened during COVID was just unconscionable if you were actually trying to have citizens and active participants in our community.
Well, as far as blaming the system, we also, there are some parents that don't care if their kids are doing porn on their laptops. And so it's a combination of the government, parents that don't care, and the courts that are, right now, we got to turn around.
Agreed. And it's time. It is time. So I'll even say that kind of brings us back to the Easter message. You know, today is Good Friday. Things look pretty bleak. And things that we have believed in our hearts and believe that can be, we can live in abundance, that we've been taxed and taxed and taxed. But I say it's the Easter message, that it's Good Friday, but Sunday's a-coming.
That's right. Have a good day.
You too. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. So, Kenny, if our community, and we talk about Paso Robles and the Paso Robles Area Groundwater Authority, and we talk about Paso Robles City Council, but the range that this community, KPRL, has, the listening audience, thank you so much. You are an amazing community, and thank you for listening and calling in, and I just wanted to say thank you to everyone out there.
Happy Easter. Happy Passover, and pray for our troops in Iran, and we will see you next week. This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.